delivering a speech on its own is quite daunting, but then when you're adding the visual aspect to a speech, obviously with your background, what are some of the ways that someone can do these both effectively?
Right, well, there's lots of different things you need to take into account. People more or less just jump straight in to use things like PowerPoint and Google presentations, things like that. But of course, back in the day when we didn't have the technology, you would do a thing called show and tell. So you would actually hold up an item and tell people about it. Most of us have probably done that at school at some stage. Or people used drawings. So you would draw something either on a flip chart or a whiteboard and illustrate a point using a diagram that you had in your memory. So those, or a poster, for example, that they might have prepared earlier. So there's all sorts of visual aids. You don't necessarily just have to rely on the technology. So, you know, it has been around for quite some time. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the word stories, so giving personal anecdotes and making things come alive for people using their imagination, that was one of the first storytelling techniques that's been around forever, of course, and people seem to may have lost that art.
So is it a matter of trying to get that art back?
I think so. And I think the preparation, certainly practicing, making sure that you've got the images that match whatever you're talking about is certainly going to help. If you've got something quite disparate up on the screen, or you've drawn something kind of weird and wonderful and people can't follow along, then you've kind of lost your audience, really. So you need to kind of make sure that everything's combined and flows very well.
Sounds easy, doesn't it?
It comes with practice.
Indeed, indeed. Now, it's great that you've talked about all those other visual objects and word imagery. But again, I think in today's day and age, PowerPoint seems to be the most commonly used visual aid for presentations. And I think if you're a novice to PowerPoint, what are some of the ways that you can become more familiar with this package? I mean, it can be really daunting.
Yes, it is a very powerful piece of software. There's a lot to it. One of the best ways to kind of learn more about it is obviously you start to have a play with it and practice with it. But also, you can probably have a look on things like YouTube, Vimeo. There's various different tutorials that some wonderful presenters have put together on how to use a software package. Sometimes it's just a matter of test it out, play with it, click on things and check it out to see what's going to happen. So there's definitely lots of self-guided tutorials that you can have a look at. In fact, you could probably even go to the library here in Lower Hutt, which is a fabulous library, and have a look for books if you want to follow along step by step from an actual paper book.
An actual paper book? Crumbs.
Who would have thought?
Well, yes, and it's always the doing, isn't it? As you said, it's the practice. In your experience, what do you think makes a great PowerPoint presentation?
Well, there's tons of rules, if we want to call them that. Certainly, you need to use lots of visuals that are interesting. Try and avoid that cheesy clip art that comes with it. I think there's tons of free software that you can get in terms of free, you know, photo images from photo libraries around the internet. So you can use all those sorts of things. There's even video clips that you could probably hook into PowerPoint as well, even some audio if that's appropriate. Certainly, you don't want too much on the slide, so you certainly don't want, you know, screeds and screeds of text. That's super boring. You need just a few short points. Used to be, when I first started using PowerPoint, used to be the thing called the Rule of Seven. And the Rule of Seven basically said that you shouldn't really have more than seven words and you shouldn't have more than seven lines. But I think in this day and age, we've gone down to the Rule of Three. Things should be much shorter. They're just punchy words that you need to use, and they're just basically reminders about what you're saying. Because, of course, PowerPoint is not what people have come to see or hear. They've come to hear you as the speaker. And you certainly don't want your PowerPoint to be overwhelming or the main focus. You as the speaker is the main focus. So you want to make sure that your PowerPoint is actually following along with what you're saying. It's well prepared. The visuals look interesting. The colouring and the style look good. And the font is well chosen. You might want to have a look up on Google about what a serif font is versus a sans serif font. Sounds kind of weird and wonderful. What that basically means is the style of the font. So does it have little edges to it? And those are quite difficult to read. So if you think, I'm going to get into some technical stuff, if you get into like a Times Roman, which is a very common typewriter type font, that's kind of difficult to read on a great big screen. So you want a font that's much cleaner, something like Arial, which I don't really like, but it's commonly used, and that's a good example of a sans serif font. So choosing your font, making it large, making it colourful, making it interesting will help you.